You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/truecrime.
This is Beyond a Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Gary Smith.
Welcome. This is a special, very special edition of Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. And for those of you who listened last week, and quite a few of you did, we covered a story that's kind of flown under the radar here. And straight from, we have a very special guest today, which is Sandy Kobesi. Am I pronouncing that right, Sandy?
Kobesi.
Kobesi. Very good. And you're coming. We were just commenting, your lawyer, Jerry Kaplan, who I've known for many years, is also on. Jerry, how are you? In spite of the fact that it says Michael's iPhone, that's Jerry audio in. Sandy, where are you coming to us from?
I'm coming to you from the south of Lebanon.
Got it. And we were contacted after talking about this story last week. Obviously, it kind of resonated with a lot of people, and Jerry reached out, and I've known Jerry, as he probably told you, for decades, but longer than either of us want to admit. And I said, I'd love to hear what you have to say, because a lot of people have a lot of questions, as you can imagine. And I'll start off with, first of all, you're in Lebanon. Are you coming back?
Of course.
Okay.
I'm here on my annual vacation.
Got it. And why or... what was the reasoning? A lot of people have said, why did Michael, your husband, and let's start off with the kind of the genealogy of it. You're married to Mike, and you've been married how long?
29 and a half years.
And you've got how many kids? You had four, as I remember.
I had four. I have three boys currently.
Okay. And if I understand I was an anthropology major, so I'm going to do the genealogy. Your father is Mike, your husband's uncle, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, it's important for this story. And
yes.
So that would make you a first cousin, correct?
Correct, which is, if anybody's familiar with the Muslim religion, it's a very common thing. I was born and raised Muslim. Mike was born and raised Muslim, even though I was born here in the United States in California, Glendale, California. I was raised very strict by my parents. So, you know, they put us together and said, you two will be a good fit. And I've been with them ever since.
And so when you say they put us together, that's what you or I would commonly call an arranged marriage, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Now, there's this story, because we don't have a whole lot of time, so I'm going to try and cut through so you can talk.
Okay.
This story basically happens, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, there is a tape that is made, and when I say a tape, a recording of a phone call, and that would have been what year?
2016.
And the phone call had you on it, had your husband on it. Your husband was in Beirut at the time? During this,
yes, he had just arrived probably 24 hours prior to the phone conversation.
And who else was on it? Was it your dad, his uncle?
Yes.
Okay. And was there anybody else on the phone call?
No.
Okay. And it's a very, I'm not going to replay it right now for those who've already heard portions of it. We didn't even play the whole thing because it's very disturbing, as you might imagine.
Yes.
And I'm sure disturbing for you as well. And people will find out in a second even more so why. But you're confronting him with your father, who's also his uncle, on the phone. Is that right?
Correct.
Tell me how that came about. How did you, why did you tape it? How did that come about? What led up to that taping?
So first of all, I didn't know it was being recorded. So that, you know, is the first main thing. Second of all, my father and my two brothers had told me less than 24 hours prior to the phone conversation that Mike had abused them as they were kids. So as being, you know, controlled by my family my whole life, of course, I believe them. And, you know, in my nature of the way I grew up, I always followed what my family told me. So I believe them right off the bat. My father pretty much said, we need to set Mike up. We need to make sure he stays in Lebanon. We need to scare him. So you need to tell him X, Y, and Z in order for him to admit to something.
Okay. So that's why, because you presaged my next question, because my next question is, you were very graphic in that taping. And when I say graphic, anybody can listen to it. I don't want to, I'm not going to sit here and try to embarrass you, but let's just say you.
Yeah, we've been embarrassed enough.
Yes, exactly. So you specifically asked about anal penetration, and you were very graphic in what you were saying. Was that something that your father had given you to say?
Yes, they had implemented these things in my mind the night before. And they said, you know, some graphic details that I obviously was shocked to hear. I was still in shock. You know, I have four kids with my husband. I've been with him more than half of my lifetime. So for me to hear those things, I was in complete shock. And all I could think of, oh, my God, this is true. I need to make sure he never comes back and sees my kids again.
Right. I mean, you said stuff like, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a widow. I'm dead to you, basically, or along those lines. And the things that were that you described to him, where you were confronting him, he did, in fact, say, I made a mistake and I'll fix it and things of that nature. Why? I mean, at the time, I would assume, correct me if I'm wrong, that was a confirmation that something had happened in your mind, correct?
It wasn't a confirmation. Mike is very non-confrontable. He doesn't like fights. Him and I never fight. He doesn't like confronting anybody. He just likes to solve whatever issue it is. So in his mind, all he knew was he woke up in the middle of the night, somebody's accusing him of something, and all he could say is, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. I don't know what you're talking about. Nothing happened. He didn't admit to anything.
Well, he does say there's a couple of times on there, and he goes, I guess, between Arabic and English. There's kind of, it toggles between. There's a mistake. I'll fix it. And, you know, I made a mistake, that kind of stuff. In real time, I know you've got a different position now, and we'll talk about that. But at the time, that pretty much, I mean, it inflamed you, I guess, is a fair statement, right?
Well, I was inflamed from the night that they told me all of this happened. You know, okay. I hadn't slept. I was, you know, distraught. So again, all I could think of, did Mike do this? My dad said, yes, we need to set him up. We need him to admit to something.
And afterwards, did you feel like he had admitted to something?
No, he didn't really admit to anything. He just kept saying, I'm sorry. Let me fix whatever it is. And also at the same time, if you notice in the phone conversation, it had cut off multiple times. So there was different conversations going at the same time. I don't know what my father had recorded and what he hadn't. But I don't know if you're aware of this, but we had found out some very bad things that my family had done a couple weeks before that.
And we found out they were stealing. When you say your family, you're talking about your brothers.
My brothers and my father. You know, they were a partnership with Mike on a property. And we found out they were taking money from the account, pretty much stealing. And once Mike confronted them, then they waited for him to leave to Lebanon. And then that night, they told me, this is what Mike did. We need to make sure he stays in Lebanon because, you know, they probably felt trapped, to be honest with you.
Okay. And now, when did you start to, I assume at some point, because a lot of what people have been talking about here in La Cañada, as you can imagine, it's quite the story.
Yes.
You know, for those who don't know, your husband and you have operated a real estate brokerage in La Cañada for many, many years and are very, very involved in the community. Did you, after you got off that phone call, did you believe that Mike had done something still?
I didn't believe it, because whatever they made me think to believe, I confronted all my children. I asked them, had anything happened between you and your father? They all denied everything. You know, my youngest was very young. My daughter was only 11 years old.
Your youngest is Enzo, I believe, right?
Yes, my youngest is Enzo. He was only 2-3 years old. You know, my boys were teenagers, and they were the main ones that I confronted. They denied everything. And the main person that was mentioned in this recording is my son, Paul. And he's the one that they stuck to for odd reasons. And I made sure, and Paul said, no, absolutely nothing happened. Dad and I had a fight prior to that, and he got upset at me, and I got upset at him, and some words were shared.
So was that in the tape itself? You're talking, not only you got fired up because of your brothers and your father to start off with, but in the tape, if I understood it correct, you are talking about your sons specifically, because as you said, you've got three of them. You were talking about, in somewhat graphic terms, about him abusing your sons, correct?
Correct. And that was part of the whole setup. You know, my father made me specifically say, you know, have him admit that he did something to your kids too, not just my boys. Because in all honesty, you know, between you and I as adults, as parents, there was no proof. There's no evidence. Something happened 30 to 40 years ago. And now all of a sudden it's coming out. So they wanted me to pinpoint my kids and say, yes, Dad did do something to us. So basically it was a whole setup.
Now the, you know, people who are dubious about this or suspicious are going to say, look, you told him you're a widow. Basically he was dead to you. It doesn't sound like he convinced you in the least. And there's a argument that he did admit it. What do you say to those people?
They can argue all they want. I know who my husband is. He didn't admit anything. My son, Paul, was in a deposition for 4 hours and he denied everything. He continues to deny everything. My husband continues to deny everything. And, you know, I'm a mother of four. And if anything, I'm sorry if my mom was stupid and didn't hear my brother screaming at 2 years old, but I would know if my son was being raped at 2 years old.
So the,
You can hear me, I might note Social Services has investigated three times and found nothing.
How recent? That's Jerry Kaplan. Jerry, how recently?
You know, I don't have.
During the 2017-2018 time when I decided that. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I lost you guys. Okay. I decided, you know, my husband is innocent and I'm going to stick with him and my kids. And that's during the time that they harassed my children, especially Deanna and Enzo, because they were minors. They were harassed by social services daily, sometimes weekly. And they were examined through Children's Hospital, through Child Services, and both major times through the DSC, it was found unfounded. There was no proof of anything.
So, Sandy, I'm going to touch on something that's part of the story, I think, and it's awful, but this tape was apparently played for your daughter at some point?
That's incorrect.
No, then tell me, because unfortunately she took her own life a number of years ago.
She did not take her own life. She didn't hear the recording. She knew of the issues that were happening, obviously, because social services was knocking on our door constantly, asking her questions, her getting examined. Ever since they instilled the fear into us, especially Dan himself, saying, you need to leave town.
Dan is your brother.
My brother that worked with us for over 20 years instilled fear in us by telling us, he told a psychiatrist, you need to pack your bags and move out because Mike shouldn't be seen with the kids in public. So, you know, us having
and that
kids.
Was we what, that was what year?
That was in 2016.
Okay. And then she passed away what year?
She passed away last year. It hasn't been a year yet.
Okay. At some point, you filed a lawsuit. It wasn't with Jerry, but another lawyer, correct?
Yes. Yes. When,
and Gary, I think, I haven't introduced you to Gary, but he's my partner on this podcast. Say hi to Gary.
Oh, okay. Hi, Gary.
Gary's got the date of that lawsuit. Gary, do you have the copy of it? That's you suing, correct?
Yes, correct.
And you're suing your brother, and who's Anjane?
His wife.
Got it. And that was in 2018?
That was in 2018.
Okay. Then I guess the next lawsuit Gary put up there, which is the one, this is the one that you just went to trial on, correct?
Correct.
John Doe, AK versus Doe, childhood sexual abuse. That was filed after you filed the first lawsuit?
I filed the first lawsuit in August of 2018 after my family, again, the brothers and the father, started spreading the recording that I had not been aware of to the community, to real estate companies, to my kids' schools. So then they had been saying very bad things about Kubisi Properties and Mike himself. So since I own the company, I own Kubisi Properties, my kids work for my company, they were defaming my name, my okay. company's
so has
name.
Has Kubisi Properties always been in your name?
For the most part.
I mean, because cynics will say that it was just transferred so that they could get assets out of your name. Do you know when was it? It wasn't transferred.
No, Mike and I have always been doing things with our trust. You know, we weren't the professionals when it came to our living trust. We hired different attorneys to try to do the right thing for our four children. We found out the one attorney wasn't the right fit for us, so we changed some things around. So there had been changes throughout the years with all our
assets. I think you may have to go in.
I'm sorry, Jerry. I didn't hear you. What, Jerry?
Not strong enough.
I'm not sure if Jerry knows he's unmuted.
Right now, but...
Then, Sandy, so...
I can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we can. I'm not sure if you were talking about us or not.
Yeah, Sandy,
What happened with...
I would sit at the kitchen, the table over there.
Go ahead.
Okay, Sandy, so... I take it that at some point between the recording in 2016 and the lawsuit in 2018, is it fair to say you became convinced that you were set up and that's why you filed the lawsuit?
No, I did not file the lawsuit until Dan and Angine and Brad and Hussein started spreading the recording and saying bad things about my company and Mike.
Okay. Do you regret filing the lawsuit? Do you feel like that triggered the one that we're talking about where there was a verdict and you testified in the trial, correct?
Correct. And, I did.
And Jerry tells me for quite a long time, I mean, hours and hours and hours, correct?
Yes. 2 days.
2 days. And did you feel like, and obviously nine of the jurors, Jerry has told me that it was 9-3. I didn't know that. That's a little, I mean, that's, basically, on a civil trial, for those who don't know, you don't need a unanimous verdict. It's 9-3 for civil because it's a lesser standard. So obviously, nine people didn't believe you or didn't believe Mike. Rumor has it Mike was not the best witness. Were you in the courtroom when he testified?
No, I was not.
Okay. So they exclude you or you just didn't show?
No, I just wasn't included because I was a witness and I was told I can't be in the courtroom because I was a witness.
Okay. Do you feel like if you had to do it over again, that Mike as a witness was part of the problem with this trial? That the jurors
I think the biggest problem in this whole case was this recording that has to do nothing with the fact that they filed a lawsuit against Mike for abuse. This recording happened to come up out of nowhere. Not out of nowhere, but obviously it was taken. But that's what convinced the jury that he's guilty, because there's so much anger coming from me and Mike saying he's sorry when they don't really know what happened on that phone conversation.
Did you explain it to the jurors? Did you explain to them? Do you think, and do you think that you were convincing and Mike may not have been?
I honestly don't know how Mike testified. I know I did my part and I tried to explain to the jury all the pains that we have been through. Nothing can compare to losing our daughter. Nobody can sympathize me unless they've been in that position. And, you know, I felt like I did my part in explaining all the troubles we've been through since 2016 till today, even after the whole trial. And, you know, I'm here with you today because I want to make a point to especially the La Cañada community that we've been so involved in for over 30 years that, you know, they believe some newspaper ad that says Mike is guilty. Okay, a jury said he's guilty, but is he really guilty? How do we know he's guilty?
I'm going to correct you because your guilt implies criminal. This was not a criminal case.
This is a
civil case with a lesser standard so that we're clear, so people understand that. But at the same time, they heard from you. They heard from Mike. Let me give you kind of what most people are saying, and then I'll let you go. But most people are saying if it's an arranged marriage, you've got the tape. As you said, the tape is kind of game over for most people. They listen to it. They can't get past that. Then you've got that Mike doesn't show up for the punitive damages portion of this. Then you've got the fact that you have the everything is in your name, so to speak. And then next thing you know, he's posting pictures about going to Lebanon with Enzo. So you can see that there's a kind of a narrative there that's not a great narrative for you if you're trying to disabuse people of what they think they've heard and believe on the tape. Does that make sense to you?
I'll explain that to you a little bit better. So Mike comes to Lebanon every year, maybe twice a year. He has his mom here and he has his sister. His father passed away a few years ago. He comes all the time. He was waiting for the trial to be over. As it was over, he got Enzo and he came to Lebanon. I was in Italy with some friends and I met him here in Lebanon. So I flew from Italy here to Lebanon. It's not a surprise. We're not running away from anything. There's nothing to run away from. If we were guilty as people think we are, I wouldn't be sitting here right now talking to you. Responding to Facebook posts or any of that, because I know who we are.
Got it. And then what about, what do you plan on doing? All right. One of the biggest problems you've got, my guess is that, you know, it's not a small verdict. It's a $24 million verdict. In order to appeal it, you're going to have to post a bond.
You're going to appeal it without posting a bond. It's just that they can try to execute.
Yeah, are you going to post the bond, or what do you plan on doing, Jerry?
We're planning on appealing it,
and
probably not posting a bond. There's nothing in Mike's name. Hasn't been for many years, and that's what we're going to do.
Got it. And so the verdict is against Jerry. Just so people are clear, the verdict is against Mike, not Sandy.
Correct.
So, and Mike doesn't have anything in his name?
Hasn't had it for years. It's always been Sandy.
Right. And was that done after 2016?
No, that's been forever.
Okay. And so are you worried, or is there a worry about the lawyers on the other side coming after Sandy for fraudulent conveyance or any of those things?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Well, Sandy, I appreciate it. That's all the time we have. Gary's going on vacation. I promised him I suppose we'll see you back in La Cañada then.
Yes, definitely in the next week or so. And I appreciate you taking the time. You know, again, I'm sorry for – actually, I shouldn't even say I'm sorry. It's sad to me that so much has – gone on since the trial in our home, La Cañada, which, as you know, we've been there forever. My kids were born and raised there.
Almost as long as me, but not quite.
Yeah. I just hope people see the light. I hope I've instilled some kind of truth in their minds, because that is what the truth is. And I'd love for people to reach out to me if they have any questions. I'm available.
Thanks, Sandy.
Thank you, Mark.
I'll see you in the community. Jerry, thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. Stay tuned for more bonus episodes coming soon.